there. Everybody have fun over the holiday? I hope so.
I had a good time.
I didn't hear any fireworks, though. I was bummed. I thought somebody would be blowing off crap in my neighborhood. I mean, you know, just for giggles, you know, for whatever it's worth. Because it actually is and I'm not trying to push anybody and say, you know, you could do, but you could still do it today. You know that, right? It's the day before, the day of, the day after, federal holiday. You know, just as long as you follow your local ordinance guidelines and whatnot, you could have a little fun. So I'm just saying, okay? Just saying. It is the Uno effect today. Those of you who may have noticed, Roger is on in the morning filling in for Lori for a couple of days, and so he won't be here because he's probably taking a well-needed nap. So it's me, myself, and I. So that way it's the trifecta, but other than that, it's the unofecta. So that's all right. We'll have a good time. 382-4280 is the number. 1-877-382-4280. And then, of course, snarky and smarmy comments can be sent via the texting line at 80-373. We've got lots of stuff to talk about. We're going to have a little fun with some of our state lawmakers. And we talked to a couple of people from CBS. We're going to check in with Larry Magid next. Microsoft announcing the acquisition of Nokia. So we're going to talk a little bit about that because that's a big thing. And talk to him about something else as well. And then we're also going to talk with Mike Lyons from CBS News about the situation in Syria and kind of clear up that as well. But in the meantime, it is a Tuesday, so we can do whatever we want to start the show. So let's start the show.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plains. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and he crowned thy good with brotherhood and sea.
Elvis was good. It was. All right, let's go right to our phone guy here. Live and in color from Berlin, Germany. The one and the only Larry Magid. Hey, Larry, how are you?
I'm good. It's nighttime in Berlin. Just had a great meal.
Yeah, it is. I'm
happy to talk to you.
I was stationed there, but when I was stationed there, you couldn't go to Berlin unless they invited you. So.
Well, I was invited.
I know you were, because it's one big happy family now. Hey, wanted to ask you really quickly about your thoughts about the purchase of Nokia by Microsoft. They're going to buy the devices and services business. Is it going to be good for both companies?
Well, that's what they're hoping. Obviously, it's a big bet. It's a risky bet. Microsoft didn't spend a lot of money for it as companies ago. I mean, $7 billion, that would be a lot for me, but for Microsoft, maybe not all that much. But it's very risky because, you know, right now they are, number four, number three, I'm not sure where they are, but they're way behind Android and Apple, and I guess they're hovering, competing with at this point with BlackBerry. And I think what they want to do is to be a solid number three. Now, the good news is that once you get out of the United States, they tend to do a little bit better. They're actually fairly strong in the developing world, and they're not too bad in Europe. Their smartphone penetration in Europe is about 8%, but it's very low in the U.S. So Microsoft now owns a hardware company. That's good for Microsoft. It means like Apple and like Motorola through, I'm sorry, like Google through Motorola that it owns, it can control the software and the hardware. So that means more flexibility, more synergy for them. But boy, I don't know how they cracked that Apple and Android juggernaut. It's just very difficult to compete.
Well, that was one of the things I was going to ask you. Is this an acquisition where the main emphasis is going to be overseas because of their strength over there, as opposed to in the United States? Or what can Microsoft bring to the table that would make Nokia move up the charts a little bit here?
Well, it's a good question. I do think it'll be strong overseas, but I think in terms of domestically, they're going to make every effort. I mean, they've already done some things with a great camera. The newest device has a terrific camera. They've already improved the interface. Windows 8 phone is very good, gets great critical reviews. But the key thing is, how do they create an ecosystem? The problem that they have is that there just aren't nearly as many apps for Windows as there are for Android and iPhone. And that ecosystem is very important. So Microsoft, I think, is tenacious. This could be Ballmer. You know, Steve Ballmer, the CEO of Microsoft, is it's his last year. He's retiring. And the other interesting thing about it is, by acquiring Nokia, they also got Nokia's CEO, Steve Nilop, who was considered a possible inside candidate to replace Ballmer as CEO of Microsoft. So it was more than just a company. They got some personnel as well.
That may have been one of the underlying reasons, I guess. We're talking with Larry Magid of CNET and CBS and lots of other stuff. And when we get done, we'll have you tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, Larry.
Sure.
Let me ask you this quickly. One of the comments that was posted below this article says Dell is next on Microsoft's radar.
Well, yeah, good point. Dell went, they want to go private. But they could be an acquisition candidate. But on the other hand, does anybody really want a PC company?
Yeah.
I think that's the big problem for Dell.
Yeah.
Does anybody really want any PC company?
So we talked off the air about this, and this is something I wanted to ask, because the question was posed, what company out there is best suited to possibly make the smartwatch work? Do you have any inside ideas or your own opinion, what company might actually make that work?
The two that strike me as likely candidates right now are Apple and Samsung, both leaders in the smartphone business, both pretty innovative, and rumors are floating around that both could release a smartwatch. In fact, the rumor is that Samsung may release one right here in Germany, where I happen to be tomorrow. That's certainly something I've been reading. So I would say those are the two companies, but my jury is out as to whether it's going to be a blockbuster product or just kind of a Me Too product. I mean, it'll be interesting, but in terms of actual market share or sales, I don't yet know how many people are really going to want to be able to look at their smartphone from their wrist.
Yeah, that is true. Well, they keep making, first of all, they made them smaller and smaller, and then they started making the screens bigger and bigger because that's what people wanted. And it would seem to me that's going in the opposite direction because, a watch, you can't really have that big a thing on it because it becomes a little bit too cumbersome. We're talking with Larry.
And most of the ones that are currently on the market, by the way, are really accessories to smartphones.
Oh, and there are
several smartwatches that are out there now.
Okay. But they're not necessarily a standalone device. It's something you would use with
smartphone. You might be able to tell the time with them standalone, or maybe a few features here and there. But in general, they're adjuncts to the smartphone.
Imagine that. Just tell them the time. That's all it is. So the days of the Dick Tracy watch are probably far away.
Well, I wouldn't count that out. I mean, I think that the idea of being able to make a phone call from your wrist is not out of the question. There are already products out there, but we'll have to see what gets announced, coming forward.
Now, we're talking with Larry Magid of CNET, CBS News, Larry's World, lots of different locations. Now, why are you in Germany?
Well, I'm in Germany for IFA, which is a great, big, huge trade show that takes place every year, this time in Berlin. Hundreds of thousands of people, consumers from all over Europe, come to it, kind of like the CES of Europe. I'll be actually giving a talk or participating in the keynote. One of the keynotes with Sprint's CEO, Dan Hesse, and covering the show for CBS News and Forbes and my own websites.
Well, cool. Well, we'll look forward to your reports on we of course have a Tech Talk on Monday through Friday on the 5 o'clock afternoon news here on KZO. So we'll look forward to having you report on that, Larry. If people want to get a hold of you, how what websites can they go to, or how can they get in touch with you and get your information?
Thanks for asking. My main website is larrysworld.com. I also operate safekids.com, and I'm co-director of a nonprofit called connectsafely.org. So if you're interested in internet safety, safekids.com and Connect Safely. For all things tech, larrysworld.com, and you'll even find occasionally links to my the podcast or the Tech Talk that you're hearing at 5 o'clock in your market.
Larry Magid works, of course, a correspondent for CBS News, CNET, LarrysWorld.com. Lots. I mean, you're a busy, busy man. Enjoy yourself over in Berlin, and we will let you go so you can enjoy. Because it is 6 hours difference. When I was stationed in Germany, it's 6 hours, so it's 9:20 over
and
there.
And there's a Wienerschnitzel getting cold on my table as we speak.
Get back to your dinner. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Take care. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Larry Magid, who is live from Berlin. Yeah, a lot of trade show. It'll be interesting about the Microsoft and Nokia, only because, like he said, Nokia really doesn't have a hold here in the United States, but overseas, it does. Indeed, indeed. All right, so the state lawmakers have been a little busy. The Medicaid expansion is on its way to the governor's desk, but I have a few issues with it. And one in particular was someone who actually voted yes and agreed with it, but he's just being a little snarky, and I think he needs to be called out on it. So we will get to that next. It is the Trifecta, 590 WKZL. It is the Trifecta. Jim today. Tomorrow, I will tell you that we're going to have the chairman of the Kalamazoo County Democratic Party in for Roger. Dave Pawlowski will be here tomorrow. Then Roger comes back on Thursday, so we can have all sorts of fun. Indeed. All right, so the Senate, or actually, the House passed, again, House Bill 4714. Minor changes were made. The House put their stamp of approval on the minor changes the Senate made. Went to the governor's desk, and he's going to sign it, and all this good stuff. And there were still some House members and some senators who wanted immediate effect on the bill. And so before the motion could be revamped to put it in, Senate Republicans went into to caucus. Now, Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville, Republican from Monroe, voted for the Medicaid expansion. He was the one who decided that it didn't need to be taken to a vote earlier because they wanted to work sessions, and then we had two more things come in, and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, he did vote for it. But it was like the ultimate of snark here, okay? He said nobody, what was it? He had made up his mind not to take up another immediate effect vote after Tuesday's vote a week ago today, saying that a vote had been taken, no one was going to change his or her mind. He didn't want to bring the issue up. Now, this is where I'm taking a issue with this, using the quoting fingers here. It's kind of like we had this really big dinner. We got the dinner done, and now some people are asking for dessert. We're going to skip dessert on this one and move forward. All right, first of all, Senator Richardville, you probably don't want to refer to a bill that is going to give health insurance to hundreds of thousands of those, or the chance for health insurance, hundreds of thousands of Michiganders who don't have it now, as dessert. That's no. You don't do crap like that. I'm calling bull crap on this one. No. If you're going to say, okay, look, we've already talked about it, we would have put immediate effect in effect if it had been something we thought could happen, that's fine. Don't refer to it as dessert. God, were the gears not working upstairs or something? In fact, I would defy any Republican, whether they be Senate, House, county, whatever. Could you please explain to me how that is a cogent comment? That's crazy. Why would you do something like that? And this is a guy who voted for it. He voted for this thing. His yes vote's there. Give me a break. Now, here's the second half of this argument. Sentiment Minority Leader Gretchen Whitmer, who's a Democrat from East Lansing, said, according to the Department of Community Health in Michigan, the state's going to lose $7 million a day or $630 million over the 3 months because the plan is not being implemented immediately. And those low-income residents who are not going to have a chance to get this until April 1st are going to be subject to fines of $95 a day or up to $285 per family for not having health care coverage. Now, according, now here's where, and this is from Mears, this is where I have some issues. Republicans quickly called the $630 million number, quote, factually inaccurate. Who said it? Which Republican said it? Was it a senator? Was it a House member? Who? Was it Richardville? Who? Just says Republicans quickly called it factually inaccurate. And then there's the big they. They noted Michigan needs to get a pair of federal waivers through Department of Health and Human Services, and getting them through by the January 1st implementation date wasn't a sure thing. Well, that still doesn't explain how the $630 million is inaccurate. How is that inaccurate? If we can't get the waivers possibly until January 1st or a little bit after, how is that not going to cost us money? That's what I want to know. Okay, and then it said, also, those eligible for Medicaid expansion could pre-register for coverage on October 1st and presumably avoid fines. How do you know this? Do you know this for sure? Is it in writing? Because nobody has mentioned anything about this up till now. We knew that fines were going to be available or were going to happen. We knew that that fine for individuals or families was also going to happen. But nowhere, no place, no how, does it say how the state's going to avoid the $630 million. I mean, I'm doing the math here. $7 million a day times the 90 days that it's going to take to implement, January, February, March, okay? That puts us 30 days thereabouts. Yeah, 30 days. Do the math. You got two 31-day months there surrounding a 28-day month, so we're good. So 90 days. Okay. So 90 times 7 is 630. Okay. Now that I can figure out. And I do know that $95 a day is what you're going to get fined if you don't have your health care coverage by January 1st. And most people will, because the exchanges are coming on, whatnot. But the Medicaid expansion isn't going to be available until April 1st. So what are those people supposed to do? What are those people supposed to do? None of that explanation is in here. None of it. And I'm just, I'm dumbfounded, because it seems like the people that are in Lansing don't have a clue, or most of them don't. They don't have a clue. Because you make a statement like they call it, quote, factually inaccurate. Why? How is it factually inaccurate? How can you prove that to the average Michigander who's gonna have to go through this stuff? How do you tell people the state's not gonna pay that money? How do you? Where's the beef, as they used to say back in the 80s or 90s? Where? Where's the proof? All you're saying is, okay, we're done with this. We're going to go on to different things. Oh, really? Seriously now? The Michigan legislature is going to pick up, and they're, by golly, they're going to start doing stuff, and we're going to start, yeah, we're going to work. Yeah. Crap. Show me. I'm from Michigan, but I'm going to take the mantra of Missouri. Show me. Show your constituents. Show anybody. You know, I know that you guys were back for the recess and everybody was busy, and I understand it, and I saw a few state lawmakers, and yeah, they were busy. They were busy getting out and talking to constituents and holding meetings and things like that, and, you know, and telling people what's going on and whatnot. But you guys get back into Lansing, and it's like big snooze time. Nothing happens. Big Z's coming out of the Capitol, because you haven't been able to work together for a long time. Part of it may be the schism, because we have a Republican governor, a Republican House, and a Republican Senate. That may be. I don't know. But when you're zeroing down specific stuff here, this stuff, with the Medicaid expansion, somebody has got to come up with an explanation. Well, I take that back. No, they don't. because there is a prevailing attitude, I think, that maybe they think we don't care or we're not watching. Or goes back to that feet to the fire argument. You know, you got to hold people's feet to the fire and ask them questions. And maybe we should have been doing that while they were on recess. You know, what's going to happen? Is this going to go into immediate effect? No, why? Why is the state of Michigan going to end up owing $630 million because you guys don't want to put this into immediate effect? Well, it doesn't need to be. Well, according to Senator Richardville, it doesn't. And we're moving on. And even the governor says that the administration can live with this because having an expanded program is better than none at all. Oh, really now? And so you're going to go out, Governor Snyder, and you're going to explain to the people who are of low income who are going to have to pay the $95 fine or $285 fine per family per day, apparently. You're going to try to explain to them why they have to pay money because you people in Lansing couldn't take one vote and put this into immediate effect for whatever reason. And apparently the reason isn't important because, according to Senator Richardville, quote, we've moved on. That's all there is to it. We're moving on. I'm sorry, it just doesn't sound kosher. Something's wrong here. It does not pass the smell test. You're a Republican, you want to call and try to explain it to me, that's fine. I love it. I would love to hear an explanation. Who knows? Bob is next, then we'll talk to Ron Kitchens from Southwest Michigan First. All of that, plus CBS News, local news. It is the trifecta. 590 WKZO, it is the trifecta. It's just me today, just Jim. That's okay, though. We're having fun. By the way, it's brought to you in part by Bronson Children's Hospital Walk and 5K Run on September 29th. Register at bronsonhealth.com/walkrun. Talking with Bob soon, Mr. Larson, and see what's happening in the world of meteorology. Tigers, big victory yesterday. You know, they're not real good. They don't play very well. That's what it is. In Boston, they're like, I think Dan Dickerson said yesterday, they were 6-17 overall over the last few games. And so it'll be interesting what happens tonight. Game time tonight, 6:45 on 590 WKZO. Also, I wanted to let you know, the trifecta is going to be hitting the road here. Yeah, they're going to let us out in public. It's amazing. Pumpkin Ale at Old Peninsula Brew Pub, almost here. Join us as we help launch this year's version. We'll be there next Monday, September the 9th, from 3 to 5. So stop by and say hi and grab yourself the first edition of the 2013 Pumpkin Ale. Ooh, good stuff. Really good stuff. We're looking forward to that. We have to keep telling Roger that he can't partake until after we get off the air, but that's all right. We'll do what we can. Some of the stuff we're going to talk with Ron Kitchens. It's it in about 7 minutes or so. Didn't know if you knew, and if you did, it's still big news. Diana Nyad, who was in town in May to speak at a Kalamazoo Valley Community College fundraiser, had a chance to talk with her as well. She has done something that nobody else did. She did something that nobody else did. Yes, I got my English degree from Western, although Western may not claim me now. She became the first human to swim from Cuba to U.S. without a shark cage. Walked ashore on Monday and did great stuff. She addressed the crowd saying that you have to not give up on your dreams, never too old to pursue. It took her 52 hours and 54 minutes to make the 112-mile swim from Cuba to Key West and walked ashore, and then they took her, did a checkup, and then she was released from the hospital. So congratulations to Diana Nyad, 64, and she became the first human. She's been trying for 35 years. When we talked with her and May before the fundraiser at Kalamazoo Valley Community College, she had said that this might be her last attempt at this. She really, really, really wanted to be the one to do it, but she might be she might have to put off her dream if she couldn't do it. So congratulations, that's cool. That is really cool. Good stuff. And you know, again, you're never too old to pursue your dreams. You're going to do it. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
All right, Jim.
It is the one and only Bob Larson. It is me, just me today.
Solo.
Yeah, Roger's doing the morning thing for a couple of days.
Okay.
So he'll be gone. Well, I'll have somebody in here with me tomorrow, but
okay.
I'm flying solo today, which is okay because, you know, I get to rant and rave and then everybody knows who to blame if something goes wrong.
All right.
How's your Labor Day weekend?
Okay, pretty good. How about you?
It's not bad. It was nice weather. Although I did hear from a friend of mine who walked the Mackinac Bridge.
Yeah, how did that go?
When I sent her a text and she said, a little rainy, a little cloudy.
Yeah, I was going to say, expected cloudy, a little cool and breezy, and I thought there might still be a shower. But
yeah, it was a little misty, I guess. But,
okay.
But they
yeah.
said everything went well, and they had a good time. And I've walked the bridge before in cloudy weather. It's almost better to walk it in cloudy weather.
I guess so.
Rather than the sun beating down on top
right.
of you. So, well, we have an abbreviated week, but it looks nice. It really does. I'm
yeah.
thinking there's a whole lot of different words that could be the word of the day.
This is true.
So, go ahead, surprise me.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Well, the word is refreshed.
I like that word.
Going two different directions with this.
Okay.
Number one, hopefully everyone is refreshed after the 3-day weekend.
Yes.
And certainly it's a lot less humid than it was a few days ago.
Oh,
that's kind
boy.
Of refreshing.
Yes, it is.
The dew point, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
It's down to 54.
Ah, love that number.
And there's some more nice weather on the way as well. As you said, it looks like a nice week. We'll be clear and cool tonight, lower 50s. And tomorrow, it's going to turn warmer than today, but the humidity is still low. Dew points in the 50s. We'll get to about 80 or lower 80s. Then another front comes through. This one probably comes through dry. Cold front comes through tomorrow night with just a few clouds behind it. A reinforcing surge of cool Canadian air for Thursday. And Thursday night, then, is a cool night. Perhaps the coolest of this stretch. As temperatures drop into the lower 50s, might be some upper 40s Thursday night outside of town. And then it starts to warm up again for Friday and Saturday, but pleasantly so on Friday. I do think it gets toasty, though, heading into the weekend. Saturday could be well into the 80s, and 80s again on Sunday when there could be a shower.
Now, let me ask you this, because we've talked about this. When is the next time that the average temperature goes down?
Well, it's going down steadily now. It goes down about every 3 days we lose a notch.
So we're at 75 right now.
September 3rd,
yeah.
And the average high is 78. Starting with tomorrow, September 4th, the average high goes down to 77.
Okay.
A week from today, the 10th, it's down to 75.
That's where we're at now.
And by the end of the month, September 30th, the average high is 67.
Ooh.
So it goes down steadily now, but every 3-4 days, we lose a degree.
Okay, and what is it at the airport?
73.
Okay, so we're 75, so we're closer than we have been for a while.
Yeah, that's because there's a little breeze.
Yeah, now, because we're into this, I mean, obviously spring doesn't, or winter, let's see, there's four seasons, I've already
right.
named two, fall, autumn doesn't hit until later in the month.
22nd this year.
Does the fact that we're into September, does that mitigate any kind of rainstorm situation that we have, or it's just not going to be all that potent, it's probably just going to whip, maybe throw us some winds and rain, that's it?
Let's put it this way. Fronts need to be stronger for them to trigger storms when they come through in September. We've pretty much gone out of the season where simply being hot and humid is enough to generate storms. There needs to be a front, and oftentimes there needs to be a fairly strong front to come through, or some sort of convergence, as we like to call it, and that can trigger storms. We can still get them. We can still get downpours, but they tend to be less frequent.
All right. And I have to ask, because Roger's not here, so I have to ask the moment. What, anything shaking in the tropics?
Well, it's been remarkably quiet. We talked about how August 15th, things could start to ramp up. We had a storm that day, like, I think a day later, it was already gone.
Mm-hmm.
And we've yet to have an actual hurricane in the Atlantic tropics this season. We've had some in the Pacific. We've had only tropical storms and tropical depressions. No hurricanes yet. And we're very close to what is considered the peak of the season, the peak being a week from today, September 10th. There are three tropical waves that could develop into storms over the next few days, one over the Yucatan Peninsula, one near the Lesser Antilles, and one way out near the coast of Africa. But none appear to be any immediate threat, and none appear to be anything that would turn into a blockbuster.
Wow. Wouldn't it be nice if everybody was wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, because what was the prediction earlier?
Prediction was above average season. I don't have the specific numbers here right now, but was supposed to be above average. That's
wow.
what most of us were thinking.
Well, you know, even though we live up here in Michigan, that's okay, because, you know, our brethren down there in Florida and along the coast are probably singing, you know, the praises of every meteorologist
exactly,
from here
but,
to...
We certainly have a lot of territory yet to go.
Yes, unfortunately. All right, Bob, we will talk to you tomorrow, sir.
Hey, Jim.
Thanks. Have a good day. All right, Bob Larson, AccuWeather meteorologist extraordinaire, telling us what's going on. And we'll, yeah, that's not bad. I like this kind of weather. I really do. And I expect it in September. After Labor Day, you almost expect, you know, a little cooler temperatures and whatnot. So. But you guys are going to have some fun because maybe over the weekend we're going to have hot temperatures again and go to the beach. All right, we'll talk with Ron Kitchens with Southwest Michigan First. Next, it is the trifecta, 590 WKZL. WKZO, it is the trifecta, or unofecta, as it's been today. That's all right. We're having fun. Time now to bring in our friends from Southwest Michigan First. This is Ron Kitchen, CEO and President. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you today?
Not bad. Did you have a good Labor Day?
You know, I did. It was, what incredible weather. We're
oh,
so lucky to live in Southwest Michigan.
Isn't it? It's cool. I mean, I was loving it. It was,
I mean,
yeah, it was just good.
Really one of those that if you didn't feel blessed, it was probably because you had been sitting in Spartan Stadium and got really wet.
Yeah, but, and, you know, lightning down and all that good stuff. And that's okay. If you're a Bronco fan, you can take heart. And it was a little better performance than I guess I expected. And if you're a Spartan fan, you got to wonder a little bit because Michigan blew out Central Michigan. So,
yeah.
Like, but, you know, that's all right. My daughter goes to Michigan State. So they won. They were happy. And I think Western took away a lot of good stuff from the game as well. All right, so I see the signs along 131 for our new arrival coming up, I think.
Newell Rubbermaid?
Yeah.
Yep.
And so now that we see the signs, when do you guys go out there and do the shovel thing and we get going?
So there, it's under construction now. So we've got the building going up, and so I haven't been out there and a week or two, but they were making good progress. We're shooting for October or so before full occupancy, but they are already moving people in, so they're in temporary quarters at the Innovation Center.
Wow.
The Innovation Center has been awesome in finding broom closets and offices that weren't fully being used, and they're squeezing folks in. And I would think that we'll have 40 or 50 people in the Innovation Center with Newell Rubbermaid by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those that had families have already moved in to get their kids in for that first day of school today.
There you go.
And so those that are single are coming in. I'd expect most everybody will be in by the end of September, but certainly by the end of the year. And then certainly by this time next year, they'll have 100 folks working in the community, and the building's a little behind schedule, but that was a conscious decision they made because they're going to make it bigger and invest more than they originally thought.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, that's cool. Let's talk about something that's a little less exciting. Michigan League for Public Policy released a report on Friday saying the majority of wages in Michigan have decreased over the last three decades, and that may be, but what, and I guess we're like number two on the list. Alaska was number one as far as wage dropping go. What kind of, does that have an impact on what Southwest Michigan First does?
Yeah, so that's one of, 18 months ago now, we came out on our transformation agenda, you know, and our estimate was per household income that we had lost $24,000 per household over the previous decade. So that was really looking at competing communities, both the real communities and our aspirational and what the average was. So our folks had less money in their pockets to invest. And, you know, there's a number of reasons for that. Certainly the decline in manufacturing jobs, two-tiered wage system for auto workers in Michigan is a big factor in that. But we also you know, we have to remember Michigan led the country into the recession, and we're coming back strongly, but it's going to take us a while to gain that foothold back. And, you know, I think if we can get by the end of this decade back into that top 20 or 25 states, so get to half, it'll be a big win. Kind of the numbers indicate we're going to get there. But the big oil states are going to have huge gains that are really about harvesting that. But absolutely, we showed that same data 2 years ago.
We're talking with Ron Kitchens with Southwest Michigan First. Well, let me ask you this, Ron. Is that kind of a double-edged sword? Because if wages are lower or have fallen in Michigan, would that be attractive to a company to want to come here?
We are absolutely more competitive at a certain level of job. We can show, you know, both that wherever you sit on the right to work, it's a real issue when companies, they want to see it, with the right to work issue, with wages being more comparable to peer states. It gives us a strategic advantage, and people are looking at us that wouldn't look before. Now, our job and one of the goals that are painted on the wall above my office is to increase that average household wage to exceed. So we got to drive wage levels up, but we take advantage of every opportunity we have today, and we've got to make our folks smarter, you know, wealthier, and better able to take care of themselves.
I wanted to ask you this because we've bantied this about a few times on the show. With Obamacare looming on the horizon, is there any evidence, at least here in Southwest Michigan or maybe even beyond, that you've seen where companies are doing what is being rumored, and that is taking their full-time workforce and pairing it into part-time workers because they don't want to go over that 30-hour threshold?
We're not seeing it with cutting workers' hours. Where we're seeing is companies deciding not to expand. So we have a number of cases where companies don't know how the rules are going to affect them, so they're not adding jobs. So they're either using temporary services or outsourcing work to smaller suppliers rather than add permanent headcount, which would be their preference. Uncertainty it breeds this kind of discontent that says it is really painful if you're an employer to have to lay somebody off or let somebody go. And without knowing exactly what all these costs are going to be, and so much rumor, and we've had, I think, 4 seminars in the last year about healthcare costs and had different answers or escalating answers. We can't tell companies with certainty, so they can't make that bet with certainty. So it is absolutely stifling job growth.
Let me ask you your opinion about the fast food worker strike situation that's gone on, because one of the figures that was bandied, you know, was kind of tossed around was $15 an hour. And I'm not a math major, but if you more than double the minimum wage from $7.40, I guess it is, to $15 now, like I said, I'm an English major, Ron, so, you know, I can explain the literary concepts, but, you know, that seems to me to be a little bit draconian as far as an increase. That would really have an impact on business, would it not?
Yeah, it would. You know what I'd love to see is, instead of spending all the money on printing signs and placards, let's use those dollars to buy a McDonald's franchise, raise the prices to what it would have to be to cover those wage levels, and see if the consumer will pay that price. Because saying we should do it with a broad brush, I think it'll cost us jobs. I think the real discussion needs to be, how do we get to the point that people don't think their lifetime job needs to be in fast food? We've got to help lift people up and create more jobs so they can move up the job chain and let there be entry-level jobs. You know, I started, you know, my first job was working at a stable, you know, shoveling stalls. And some people tell you I'm still shoveling stalls. But the fact of the matter is I had to have a place to start to come up. And we've got to create that, but we got to create a place for people to come up. And that's, I think to me the sad part in the dialogue that needs to take place is how we help people move from fast food to factory floor to creating sustainable jobs at wage levels that they can take care of their family at. Because that's really what people care about, is to make enough money to afford to take care of your kids and be able to go to the doctor. And if you put in your 40 years, you can retire. That ought to be the discussion, not whether or not McDonald's should supersize their salaries.
One of my first jobs was a burger chef. And I don't think I ever considered that to be the do-all, end-all, this is what I'm going to do for a living job.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a good job, and I got paid a decent wage, you know, back then. And it had to have been way back then because there aren't any more anywhere.
No.
And that's something that, you know, we've talked about. It's going to have to be a combination effort between the employment, you know, like Michigan Works and, you know, Southwest Michigan First and, you know, the Chamber. It's going to have to be a combination effort, I think, to get us where we need to go, I'm guessing.
That's right.
Ron, if people want to get in touch with you or want more information about Southwest Michigan First, where do they go?
SouthwestMichiganFirst.com.
All right, well, we'll look forward to talking with you again soon, my friend.
Thanks.
Hold down the fort.
We'll do it.
All right, thanks, Ron.
Right, bye-bye.
Ron Kitchens, bye-bye. Ron Kitchens is a CEO and president of Southwest Michigan First. A lot going on in the world as far as, you know, and I know that they were talking about, you know, of course, and you know, if you're working for $7.40 an hour at McDonald's, yeah, I can understand, you know, that you would want a living wage of some kind. But there is that point that comes through, and that is that fast food jobs were never designed to be living wage type jobs. They're just not. This is not a job that you do. Unfortunately, the workforce has kind of shifted a little, and that is what it's become. Somebody's text real quickly. We were talking earlier. My job was cut to below 30 hours a week. We're hiring more part-time. That practically the entire restaurant industry will go to part-time, no more full-time. One of our frequent texters, Chris, I've been a welder for almost 20 years, and I'm only making $14 an hour welding right now, which is, yeah, that, you know, it's you know, the part-time employee thing was mentioned as well. But, yeah, you know, sometimes wages aren't kept up. And it says Obamacare really hurts college students who want to work their way through college without taking out loans. Well, that could be as well. Syria is going to be a real hot-button issue for a while. They're holding Senate hearings right now on it with Secretary of State John Kerry. We're going to talk with Mike Lyons, a CBS News military expert, coming up about the Syria situation. And we've got an interesting case concerning the N-word. It's all coming up. CBS Local News next, the trifecta.
Trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.